We're on.
All right. I'd like to call the October 8th, 2019 meeting to order. Request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We were starting it off that long, yep. Okay. Roll call, Joel.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Approval of the 9/24 meeting minutes. Did you print them off? Oh, perfect.
There's only one set.
Okay. There were no changes from what we saw in the email?
Just grammar that Mark helps me with.
I move for approval.
I can second it.
Okay. Roll call. Bo Miller?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Motion carried. Yes.
Okay. Fiscal officer's report.
Excuse me. Fund status report that you have. Thank you. Checking account $255,182.71. Star Ohio $589,707.92. Deposits since last meeting totaling $17,176.03. That's, what is that? 16-2019 through receipts 165-2019. And then payments warrant numbers 18024 through 18093. Totaling $42,685.18, with the bulk being for a third quarter payroll for the fire department.
I can approve the fund status report and the payment listing and appropriation status and the receipt details, the receipts as read.
I will second that.
Roll call, Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Motion carried. I don't have anything else to the agenda later, right? Charter and lights?
Yeah.
Yep, good.
Yeah, you're in there for later.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Joel. Mm-hmm. Fire chief.
Well, good evening. Everything seems to be moving along forward as we, into this fall season. Some building maintenance was done. The laundry room was repainted, the walls and the floor, and got the ice machine in there, and Yaki Electric will be wiring that up this week, so that'll be getting done. And doing some outside preventative maintenance on the concrete. Some of our concrete was separated quite a bit, so we're putting the elastomer filler in there to keep it from having the water go down there and start lifting these large slabs. As far as runs and drills, everything's going fine. We're maintaining. We've had a little uptick in overdoses in the area, but everybody is right now again, it seems like. And we have five, possibly six people in fire class right now up in Oregon. So that's wonderful, getting those people all trained and qualified. So they won't get done until February. And our biggest thing is we have the open house is next week. So please remember to, if you can make it, please arrive. And we have a The committee has put a lot of things together, so it's going to be very educational, very informative, and it'll be fun. And we have food and beverages for everyone. So I had an email today received from the safety officer from the state fire marshal's office, a gentleman I've never met before, but he was reaching out to all departments and was asking if any departments were having an open house. And so I replied back to him, and I just read the reply now that he is planning on coming. So that's neat. We'll have a representative from the fire marshal's office here. And we'll have plenty of things set up. We'll start early on Wednesday getting tables and stuff set up. And are we able to use the hall, or is that, no, is that meeting going to be too large?
No, that meeting, the last time it was in here. So I think you'll be fine.
Okay, because, you know, we may set up then a few tables, some of the overflow and stuff like that. And I'm hoping our weather's going to be cooperative, but should be a good time. Other than that, unless you have any questions for me.
Before you leave, fire department, Kevin and I worked late last week and on your freezer. And we've
The freezer for the hall.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
the freezer for the hall. So you should have a replacement in place probably within the next couple of weeks, well in advance of the
feather party. Good.
Okay. So that freezer combined with the huge capacity output of your ice maker should be good.
Yeah, everyone's going to benefit out of that ice maker, so.
So if you wouldn't mind passing it along to Chief Shea as well,
please.
I was going to email him, but I don't have any contact information.
No
for
problem.
Him.
Before you talk to him, let me give you a box of Kleenex.
All right, that's all I have. Thank you.
Oh, Tony, I'm just curious. Does that start at 6?
No,
it does.
Okay. I'll round my grandkids up so we get them here. See if I can.
Oh yeah, it'll be fun. There's things for the kids to do. We got a lot of giveaways, you know, fire prevention stuff. And I picked up another 24 smoke detectors. So we're really trying to push that. You know, if you know of people that need smoke detectors, we can install up to 3 of them per the residents, and it's no problem. They're all 10-year detectors, so. Doesn't matter who it is, whether you're financially stable or you're not, it doesn't matter. It's for everyone. So there's plenty more to get from the Red Cross. So they're real good about helping us out. And I did get the flyers put out for the Red Cross blood drive. And when it gets closer, we'll push that out through the school. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, what really... bolstered our numbers was that push out.
Good. It's out on the website, and it's out on Talk to the Township and Buzz on the Bay Facebook.
Wonderful.
As
good.
Well.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm already signed up.
Okay.
They call me up all the time.
Yeah.
They want me to get blood all the time.
Yeah.
Chief.
Yes.
Just one. I got something else, new business or old business with you, but we ran the appropriation status, and I just want to make sure you're aware of where we're getting way down there on money in the fire fund.
Yeah, I looked at I've been watching it, and I'm having to play a little juggling act.
Yeah, because one of my big concerns here is the salaries. Right now, we have about $8,800 left in salary, not including your salary, the runs and drills. And so far, in the first 3 quarters, every quarter, we spent $21,000. In salary, so we can definitely, I know we can move some money around in there, but
right.
You know, I know we got bills coming in still, so just I would really be crunching numbers.
Yeah, might be good for you to put together a plan.
Talking with Joel and then I'm planning on sharing with my chiefs so they can all understand that
they might not get
the year,
things
so
they want this year.
It.
Yeah,
yeah,
so.
Everything has to wait now. Yeah,
right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that's all I had on that. Anything else for the chief, gentlemen?
Nope.
All right. Okay, thank you, Chief. Mr. Mike, Rec Department.
Okay. Programming-wise, everything's going well. Fall sports will be over by the end of the month. So the girls' basketball sign-ups are now, and those will start immediately after the fall sports are over. The fields look good. I usually try to put Halloween as the date to put everything away, so I'll stay with that this year. Pick up the bases and make sure everything's good for the winter. So I'll have that done in the next couple weeks. And also on a note here, by the end of the month, they're hoping to have the turf done on the baseball fields at the Oregon Rec. So if you do get a chance sometime to see it, it's kind of cool. You can see the whole process, and hopefully by the end of the month, that's what they're saying, that they're expecting it to be done then. So it's kind of a cool addition for around here. We have, I've been working on the Christmas party. We got some volunteers. I did get some stuff from Cindy. We do have probably 5 people. I think that's going to be enough to help volunteer. I do want to touch base with Cindy a few more times. I need to know the financial, how much dollars that we have.
Okay. Curtis Bank, and I'll...
So yeah. Whenever you get a chance. So I'm assuming like the middle of November would be the time to put that in the press or put it on the marquee or...
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really nice.
Okay. So that's going, and I think, you know, hopefully we have a good turnout for that.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, and Joel got that written down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, not Joel.
We got to have you.
Santa.
Okay, good. So that's moving on.
See, I'm red already. It's perfect. Cheeks are already rosy.
You're doing a good job, though.
Yeah.
But we do have what we've been working on, as I talked about last time, is our projects for next year. We are talking about possibly putting a loop just where the walking path is and looping that around so it's in between the diamonds. Another possibility, we're still looking at that urban garden, and we're thinking a good place for that would be up front by that sign that we put up where there's one part that Kevin put a French drain in and wasn't draining right, and that grass is always kind of burned out, so we can replace that with that. And I did put a contact into that guy from the zoo, so that's kind of going. The other thing we want to do is landscape around the pavilion. The pavilion is used a lot, and if we can dress that up, I think that would look a little more appealing. And the other thing we have is some more trees in different locations. So what I will do is I will meet with Joel, or talk with Joel, and I'll give him some numbers and have all that done before the end of the year budget.
Yeah.
And if we need to move some money over, we can move some money over, and I'll present all that stuff to you guys as it comes. Obviously, I wouldn't do anything without your knowledge. I did have a question for Joel. We did get a check from the schools, I would imagine.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what's going on, and that's all I have for tonight.
Mike, I'm just curious on the pavilion. Mm-hmm. Is it when the games are there, or people using it all the time, or for something else too? Or
you know, there's people out there when I'm drag the field or do something. I've seen people just eating lunch there.
Oh yeah.
And I've seen there's a guy that comes out quite regularly. He flies these airplanes, those blow them out of airplanes.
Okay. Yeah.
And the other day when I left, the husband and wife came with their dog, and that's the gathering place right there. And if we can just dress that up a little bit, cool. I think it would look better, you know. Obviously, and that's where most of the action is, you know. Mm. Not to interrupt you, but I think we should probably relocate that porta potty. I think we can do that in the spring. It seems like it's kind of just, I don't know. Unless we can put some kind of privacy fence around a corner of it, so it just not look like it's sticking out right there. So we were talking about either moving it in between the diamonds or putting some kind of barrier around it so it's not so visible. So that's something to think about there. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, though.
Oh, it's okay. I'm just curious, is the school starting to use it a little bit?
I have talked to the phys ed teacher, and I told them, you know, about their use, and they did have a problem with their diamond on the field, which we already knew that. And I said, go out there and use it all you want. I haven't really talked to him since then, but he knows that we put the walking path. I mean, he's right there. So he knows he's put the path in. I told him, use it. So they're awesome fields for those guys, so I hope they are using them.
Me too.
I will see him in the next couple of weeks, and I'll address that with him.
One more question. When they've had things there at the school? Have they used the parking lot yet?
I extended that offer. I know there's something coming up here.
They did use it last week for that muffins and
yes,
meat.
Yes, muffins and meat. And there's something
at the thing where they parked out there.
There Good. Is something else coming up. And what I suggested is have the teachers park back there. And that way all the grandparents can park close to the school and there's no problems. So if they did that or not.
You're terrible.
Yeah. So we'll.
You're a grandparent. You'll be okay.
You can yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
So whatever they can do to use it, that's it. I think in the spring it probably needs to be sprayed. The weeds are getting kind of bad on that where it was chipping char tartan chip. But that's part of the deal, I guess. So.
Mm-hmm. I can get you a price on that. I just had a guy spraying for us.
There you go.
So far, it's looking pretty decent for what he's had to kill off.
Okay.
And he also gives a total kill guarantee. If okay. it comes back, he'll come back and re-spray.
Well, I know Kevin's been back there, but if you go back there, you can see the path that's worn out, and you can see where everybody parks, and then the other side is weeds. Just need to keep up with it, I guess.
Thank you.
Mike, let me know what you want to do, because Dana's brother was part owner of Marlo Hercules.
Yes.
So we might be able to get that fence donated.
I didn't even think about him, but I do use him for all the fencing stuff. So that's okay. I'll keep that in mind.
I mean, I might be able to get him to donate us some vinyl fence to.
I think like a couple panels, two or three.
Just to put that in.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else for Mike?
All right. Anything else?
Thanks, Mike. Okay, zoning. Linda's not here. She had a volleyball meet tonight at Woodmore or Woodward, one of the two. And I do have it down here in new business, but we can do it in new business. We'll skip her. Okay, Kevin, you're up.
Really don't have much other than. The contractor has sprayed along Quarterly Road, Wallace Road, and I think up for Lentz, he had the road that we had Gibbs over here, Arquette. He hadn't sprayed the guardrail on there as of last Friday, but he was hoping to get to it over the weekend or first of the week. I haven't heard back from him for sure. But that's starting to wind down pretty good. He's got a pretty good kill on the brush that was in all the rocked area along that dike. And that was my whole purpose. I wanted to reclaim all that rocks and get the brush out before they start pushing all the rocks down. Because that bank, that whole ditch was made really big, and we've had problems with that edge slipping. You could tell by the big dips in that road, that's where the bank had slipped away at points. So hopefully we can get that killed off. He said he will come back in the spring, recheck it, any new growth. He will spray back over anything in the rocks, because that's the total kill. I think it's looking pretty good. It's browning up pretty good, but with the cooler temperatures, it's taking longer. So that's what we're looking at on that. And David and Eric did go get the tractor from the county. We'll see how long that lasts. So hopefully we can get back to our roads and start reclaiming them again. So brush chipping does start next week. I did hire, you're going to have to help me with the last name, David.
Shuddy.
Hired him to help Eric. Everything Eric's told me is working out fine. So they've just been mowing grass, weed eating, stuff like that. But it seems to have worked out. Does not have a CDL. He said he would be willing to go get a temporary CDL so we could use him in the wintertime if we get enough snow where we want to bring a third person into a rotation to keep two trucks running. So he did plow some snow, nothing like what we did. So if we come to that situation where we think about we may be wanting him to come in for the winter, I would have him get a CDL prior to, which for our little dump truck, you don't have to have a CDL. It's not CDL required, only the bigger truck. But have him get a CDL, and he would ride
with his maybe a couple trips on, so one, he can learn the roads, and then let him drive maybe around like one of us is with him too to see how that's going to work. But there's a lot of obstacles out along the road that ain't somebody's driveway or in a little parking lot. So, but from Eric, sounds like everything's working out good with him. He's due to take him through the chipper program, the chipper training tapes and stuff. He was talking about Thursday or Friday of sitting down with him and going through those. Then walk him around the machine and explain all the operations on it. So other than that, there isn't much more we could do with that other than getting the brush. And after it smacks you a couple times, you remember, turn away from the machine, don't watch it. So, and everybody does it. And we ordered the three-point hitch weed eater for the little utility tractor for cutting around the guardrail and stuff. Ended up ordering that through Gladio Lumber. They ended up, they are now a DR equipment handler.
No, no kidding.
So they're saying next week. So when it gets here and whatever, we'll let you know if you want to come see how it works after we go make sure it's going to work first before we call you. But but no, it should work. It's got a 21-inch head on it, so it should work good under that guardrail, eliminate a million man-hours of trying to weed eat. So.
Sounds great.
And that's all I got, unless you guys have something for me. Oh, my next foot appointment's next Tuesday. You all get a call after I get out of there.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
We're hoping you've been healing real well.
Yeah, me too.
So you're getting sick of watching cartoons at home all day. All right. Nothing, anything new on the cemetery?
We're waiting on Alan Pfaff from the county engineer's office. His deadline is December 31, so we're...
And we're going to hold him to it.
Oh yeah, we're hoping it'll be early, but...
Anything on roads, Dave? Anything new?
Not too much, but I was down in Reno, Arbono, and I had to talk to some
Trustees.
People.
Yes.
And everybody's really happy with that small stone, Kevin, that tarn chip.
Yep.
Really happy.
The real test will be this winter to see how that holds up versus the other stone we used. That way we know, yeah, it's a good alternative, because it does look a lot nicer.
It does.
Yeah.
And it's quieter also.
Yeah. No, that's about all I got.
Okay. Paul Reynolds, we just had one Sunday since the last meeting. All right. Old business. Repairs of the hall. I still have that one on there.
I called her twice. She didn't call me back. It did rain the Saturday that she was going to come, so I'll call her again. I'll keep calling until I find something out.
Okay. Okay, Brown Road, Elliston. Still waiting on Burkhart to get back out here.
Yeah, I called him too, and I told him to call me back in the morning, so we'll see what happens. He has to do some church work for me on Elliston Road too, so he has a couple things to do here, so hopefully that'll be this week.
Okay. I left the ditch petition on there. I know you said last meeting the Wilhelm one you got, but
I started with that one. I got a couple signatures. I figured there's probably 10, 12 blanks there. I thought I could go around and get them all filled out, and that way it looks that way. And the other one, the Cedar Creek, that's with Wood County yet.
Yeah.
So that we're just see what happens there, I guess.
Okay. All right, Army Corps update.
Okay. We are still waiting for the full detailed report from the Army Corps of Engineers. We did have a webinar conference call with the Corps of Engineers a week or so back. They provided us with some limited preliminary information, including photos of some of the problem areas. I'll kind of jump into the next one as well. We extracted they divided it into like six different reaches, and the reach area that was the highest risk, highest need, fell into the Metro Parks area. So we did pull That section of the information, the photos and the observations and the recommendations, we provided that to Tim Sheeter of the Metro Parks. He's got that in hand. He's looking at that. He's sharing that with other folks at the Metro Parks. Meanwhile, the Metro Parks had hired their own engineer to go through and evaluate all of the dikes that are in on the Metro Parks property. And I did hear from Tim Sheeter. He called me yesterday morning to say that they haven't gotten that report from that engineer yet, but he expects it in the next day or two. So he's promised me that should be in the next couple of days. As soon as he gets it, they take a look at it, and they'll share it with us. And then we need to get together and figure out what they're able to do here before late November.
If someone's interested, Mark got this all set up, but this shows you the areas. There's pictures in here to show you the cracks on the Ward's Canal and everything. So if you're interested, later on you can look at that. And we also turned it into this same thing that Tim Sheeter had to Kevin Dalton has it also, and he lives in the township, and he also is on the Metro Park board.
Yeah, he's the chair, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then I turned it in when I went and got the tractor the other day. I gave a copy to Mike Panuski, but he wasn't there, but okay. I was going to call him a couple days and see what he says about it.
So Chief mentioned the fire department open house next week. Chief has graciously offered us a table, a display table at that open house, and so we'll be there with this information to share with anybody who wants to come by and take a look at it while they're at the open house.
Pretty interesting. It's very interesting.
Anything else on the Metro Parks?
Nope, nothing else on Metro Parks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The 911 consolidation.
Right. So we talked a little bit about that last time. I've finished the write-up of the 911 consolidation. I'll be pushing that out to the Neon Goldfish, our web maintenance provider, tomorrow. And hopefully they'll get that uploaded to the web within a day or two. As soon as that's on the web, and I was also going to include not just my write-up, my three-page write-up, but I was also going to include the entire 40-some page report.
Who should do that?
Yeah, yeah. I've got that. It's 40-some page report from the 911. Well, it's from the county. And this is about version 20. I don't know how many other versions.
I was going to ask you if you was going to mention that.
But the one that we got is version 20. I was going to put that out there so anybody can read through. But I basically got the short version of what's in there summarized in about one page. And then David and I attended a meeting that was intended to brief all of the townships are going to be represented by one individual, and we were briefing that individual, Andy Glenn, and there was a whole lot of comments, and so I managed to capture a lot of the comments, a lot of the feedback, and that'll be in that that write-up as well. So that'll be available within the next couple of days out on the website, and I'll also try to push that out through Facebook, Buzz on the Bay, and Talk of Jerusalem Township, to make it a little bit more accessible to everybody.
That's real interesting. Mark did a really good job on that. So that's the big paper that, you know, that the 20th edition of the county's thing is not that great to read, but what Mark said when we went the last meeting is excellent reading.
Yeah, it won't take you 2 hours to read.
No.
maybe we'll 3 minutes.
To follow up with the 911, I was telling Mark earlier today, I have a very good friend that works in the dispatching downtown. She lives in the township. And she said, after all this started coming ahead, and we can pull the reports, but for the last 2.5 to 3 years, all of the hang-up calls for 911 have been put on Jerusalem Township.
Really?
It doesn't matter where it comes from.
No, we don't. That has to be verified.
We have to verify it.
But right. But the if that's correct, the implications are all these costs are going to be allocated back to all the communities. And the allocation basis is the percentage of incidents. So if there were incidents, well, if there were calls that we didn't make that end up being counted as if they were our incidents, that's going to drive our percentage allocation up. And we're already looking at the cost to Jerusalem Township of the proposal is going to either, at best, it'll triple. At worst, it'll go up five times. So, yeah, there's no options where it goes down. It gets better. It doesn't get better.
And then the county saves money and the city of Toledo saves money. Gives them money to play with in other areas.
What would we figure it was? How many million dollars they were going to save Lucas County alone?
Sylvania Township saves about $750,000 a year. City of Toledo saves about $750,000 a year. This is after full implementation. There's a four-year phase-in. Lucas County saves like $3.5 million a year. That's a lot.
Over 10 years.
So, yeah, that would be a whole lot over 10 years, yeah.
Be a $35 million? A lot of jail money.
Were you at all advised about I know that Don may have initiated some of the questioning back to Matt Heierman from the county on the, how are you handling our paging systems? How is that going to be done? Because currently, you know, as Oregon does it from us, it's going from Oregon to the antenna at WSPD, and then it comes out, then it hits our antenna here. So where are we going to? So the question was raised on that portion of the logistical challenge that's going to have to be solved, and where is that money going to be paid for doing that? Are we going to have to pick up something to add another antenna in another location? I don't know. So that question has been raised, and to my knowledge, we haven't got any logical information back yet.
Wish we had that at some of these meetings we went to. We could ask them. We've been to a lot of meetings, but we never heard of, I never heard of this one.
Yeah, well, it was.
It must have just discovered.
It started from us just in discussion, mm-hmm. You know, in the radio room as wait a minute, how's this going to take place?
Well,
how does it connect? And we're not the only one affected by it. I mean, the other townships are going to be affected by that too. Yeah.
The meeting that David and I attended, there were a lot of firefighters and police officers that attended, and they had, I mean, because of the nature of their work and that they deal with this daily, they had a lot of very detailed questions and concerns about what happens if, you know, in this case, what happens when this occurs and that occurs, and so that, and that's part of what's in this write-up. A lot of those concerns were expressed.
All right, moving on. Joel, this is one of yours there, the audio on the website. You know, we talked about this at the last meeting, and basically it should be on there. This is what the recommendation was.
Yeah, I didn't get any sort of, I got some emails from the webmaster or the web provider about how to give it to them, but I haven't done anything else with it.
I'm assuming that your recording is digital, so it's a WAV file, or does it have to be converted?
I want to find out. They suggested like making it an MP3 file for the size, but that's the easy part. It's just, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they can convert it easily.
Whatever is going to be most convenient. So if somebody else is in this job, it's a smooth, seamless thing to keep it going and not lose it for public access.
So you're going to start putting that on
working on it?
Yeah, I haven't done anything yet with it. It's, okay. You know, not nagging at me, but.
More important things to do than that.
Yeah, more important things to do.
Okay, but something you're going to do on the back burner there. All right. The electric bills for the intersections. I saw the email on that today.
To summarize my findings from the county engineers and the Edison, neither entity could give me any sort of, like, documentation of how those intersections were decided to be lit and paid for by us. But from the county communication. They have nothing to do with it, is what I read. It was, sure, this happens in the past, you know, with various things, but these are county roads on state intersections, and the state will not light those because they don't have a traffic light, and we will not light them or maintain them and have no knowledge of it, how it came to be, and of course deferred it to the Edison. And then the Edison said something similar to that effect.
Surely the Edison would have to have some documentation behind their initial project to install the lighting.
Yeah, exactly. Does take them a lot longer than I, had anticipated, but...
Okay.
They have, like, a county. My personal opinion, I think, is these aren't township roads, and we're using township money to pay for that utility bill, and I don't believe we should. I don't make that decision. I just bring it, to the board to consider. Because, when I came into this position, the utility bill was just getting paid. And I don't think anybody ever asked where exactly those were from. I mean, the Curtis and the Bono lighting assessment was easy. And the rec pump was easy. And here was easy to understand. But there is this other one. And that's kind of where it started. So there's a savings for us if we don't light them, and then there's the obligation that we don't worry about maintaining them because, like, DeCant Roads isn't even working right now. And so who calls them to let them know? And since the Edison doesn't have a meter, they probably aren't aware it's out unless somebody calls. So it's not like it's something we do, right?
But on that sense, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
In that sense, we're paying for that. If it was in the grouping of all of that lighting, we're paying for something that's not working now.
Yeah.
And the other point I was going to share with you is sometimes when it was a few years ago, when you would call the helpline for Toledo Edison, there was a separate line just for
poles, light intersections,
street lights.
Yeah, it's probably a big headache for them because they have a lot of them, and we don't really pay attention to them. Because they're everywhere. Like the county where I got Seaman and Corduroy, those are lit intersections at DeCant. Not Seaman, but Corduroy, I think, is an example. That's a, but we're not paying for that. And so I think we need to get out of paying, we need to not pay for it, because it's really not our light in our road and our intersection, too.
But the only thing that I have to say against that is it is our township, and we do want it. We want it lit for safety. I mean, want them intersections lit. I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem spending the money to do it, if we are responsible for it. I know when them lights are out, it's dark.
Yeah,
some of them intersections, it's dark, and I think it's a safety issue that they should be on. Right. I like having them.
Right, but that's not, you're using the funds appropriately then, because that levy money for roads is not to pay for work on county roads or state roads. If we're not mowing county roads, I mean, the county's supposed to maintain the roads, as an example, but we know they don't. So we have gone in and done things to kind of help that along, maybe cut them back a little bit. But, we're not supposed to. And we talked about doing that. This is the same thing. If we have a state road and a county road, why are we putting any money? If we can't put stop signs at intersections that are dangerous because they're county roads, how's that different than paying for a light?
Yeah, but I think it's going to be very important to encourage the Edison to provide us with that source documentation.
Yeah,
the original request.
Yeah,
before we do anything. Yeah,
yeah. But the other thing is, I don't think we were allowed to do it in the first place, because in our levy ballot language, I'm sorry to be a jerk about it, but our levy ballot language is very specific what we can spend the money on.
Yeah, that's if you're paying for that out of roads and bridges.
And I am.
But you could pay for it out of the general fund.
I could.
I think that's where it usually came from, but there hasn't been sufficient funds in the general fund for years.
Yeah.
So they started hitting the bigger funds, taking the money from them to make up for what wasn't in the other.
I'm concerned about setting precedent, which we already have done by paying it all this time.
Well, how much are we talking?
$250 a month during the summer months, and it goes up. But it's, you know, it's not a fixed, not a fixed rate, but it's, they guess, right?
How many poles is it?
It starts at Howard and goes all the way to Cugino, because the North Curtis is a state lit intersection with the traffic light. So Decant, Cugino, Yondota, Howard,
Lyon.
There's
one at Lyon.
Yep. Yep. Boom.
Teach out.
Opfer Lentz.
I don't think Donovan does.
Opfer Lentz don't have one.
Bono Road does.
Yeah.
Right
at the curve. Yeah. I don't know if that's on there or not.
I did read something in there about if we were to have them, if they would switch them to LED, if they would.
Yeah.
Would they lower the bill?
We don't know what the investment cost would be, right. But I think, you know, we're at the very first, you know, who really had requested this,
right?
And if it was a township request, okay, it's ours, and then we can make decisions going forward,
right?
If it was requested by another government body, then it's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, I'm worried that they just, yeah.
We might not ever find it either,
and then I would still like to.
Average 325.
See what you come up with. I'd say.
I'm just worried about it being something where then if you do that, then why don't you light the intersection at this road and this road?
I mean, it looks roughly about $4,000 a year, probably, is what we're spending.
Yeah.
On that.
And then, of course, the headache to the road superintendent to make the call, or I don't know.
We don't care about him.
He's not even working. He's not here right now. So, Eric.
Well, one thing, if we're going to continue paying for them, I believe it shouldn't be road and bridge, or at least not all road and bridge, because the general fund is created to run every fire department, the rec, road and bridge, everything. Mm-hmm. That's where all your non-essentials come out of. But at the very least, it should be split. But we're looking at state and county roads. What about county on county, like down Corduroy Road? How many of them lights do we end up paying for, too? There's a lot of lights we're looking at. If we're only paying a couple hundred dollars a month, I think it's pretty cheap with the old lighting that they're using.
Yeah.
But then we got to have the number to call in those lights so we know who to call, because that was always the question, who do you call? Well, it was like top secret for a while that only one person could call. It's a friggin' street light. Let's get that number out there and post it on our website. Then necessarily one of us don't even have to notice it.
Right.
Anybody resident could call and say, hey, the light at Corduroy and Decan isn't working, or the one at Decan Route 2, which goes on and on, and stuff like that, too. But there's some stuff we need to look at on that. And like Joel said, our levies have very specific language for that. That's just like, if we're going to do that, why don't the people in Curtis say, well, we shouldn't be taxed for that because you're already paying for all these lights. So where do we draw the line?
Because you looked at Bono and found out how much that would cost us, and I just worry that it opens that box, you know?
Oh, we were talking the other night, too, as long as we're talking about lighting, and I happen to see Yaki, and he could put an LED here in this one by the recycling. So I told him to look at it.
That's a very expensive light.
Yeah.
That flood light. Is it a flood?
Those are two big ones. You could use those LEDs like I put up here everywhere, put two of them up out there. Mm-hmm. You can even go to the next wattage up.
Mm-hmm.
And put them there. Them fixtures, I believe, are like $300 a piece.
Well, yeah. He thinks they can get a bulb to fit in them, because he put them up, you know. So he thinks it might. And then there's a kickback through the government too, mm-hmm. that he can get for us too.
Mm-hmm. It isn't just the bulb. It's a great big ass transformer that eats up all the power. The bulb's minor compared to what that transformer costs to run. That was like when we did all this lighting. You get an initial savings by just converting over to an LED bulb, but once you remove that transformer, the savings is over double of what you would get just LED. But
so he's going
to
look at it.
Stuff, I'd be willing to talk to him about it.
That's what I thought, too.
Them are hogs that are over. Those are 1,000 watts. so.
Yeah, Joel said how much it was. It's quite a bit of money.
Yeah, yeah. It's its own separate reading.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it, and if it's dark out, like it's going to be, it's, it lights up the whole, all the way to Seaman Road, right? You can see it.
Well, your dad complained. He shot over just there when, like, he was living over at Tony's.
Like father, like son.
Yeah. He needs two electric bills and a W-9 form.
Okay.
So he can get started.
All right. Then all on the electric bill, Joel?
Yeah, so I guess the take from it is I'll see what kind of documentation we have, if we can get any, and then review it if we have an update next meeting or when it does show up.
Okay. I threw number 9 on here just to kind of touch base with the chief on the billing.
The soft billing.
The soft billing. How are, have we moved any? Did I remember last time Mark was looked at something for you.
We had pulled a couple companies, but we just need to which one is going to give us the best bang for our buck.
Okay.
And let's just pull the trigger. So
because I've only seen one so far.
Come back and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Then we'll get it started.
It'd be nice if we could.
There'll be some administrative stuff that trustees have to do.
Right.
Because you'll have to. We're not a city, so for Oregon, everything has to go to the general fund. For the township, you guys have to do some resolutions or something. But they'll guide us through that process.
So you have three?
Three companies.
Okay.
But I'll have to revisit them to get accurate percentages of what they are going to charge.
Do you think we could have a decision made by the end of the year?
Yes.
That way we could, I mean, I think that's, I mean, coming up, I know you guys got the feather party, I know you got the feather party coming up, the open house.
Right.
You got your times are valuable with that stuff, getting that taken care of. So, you know, if we can at least have it in here by the end of the year, we can approve it. You guys can be, you know, hopefully January, February be soft billing is you know, my, realistically, I'd like to be billing the first quarter of next year.
Very good.
See if we can do it. Okay. Thank you, Chief. Charter Communication, Joel, that was the Time Warner Spectrum, right? Yeah. They're the franchise holder.
Right, Charter owns Time Warner Spectrum, and that's the franchise agreement that email I sent out. So there's your government relations contact, and there's the agreement and how you facilitate, I think, what you need to do with that.
The agreement was attached to that?
Yeah.
I just seen the guy's contact information. He was on vacation this week or last week.
Yeah.
I didn't see the agreement.
I'll set it again, but it, you know, it shows that we went into one and that we get a kickback from them for being our provider. And so you have your name for the issue that you need to address.
To get more service.
Right.
Yeah, Joel, all I got was the copied on your email to Charter Franchise to whom they concern. I'm looking for a contract and copies.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have.
Well, we got a reply back from him with the contact information, because I remember the gentleman was on.
Right.
A woman answered you.
Right, and then we got the actual person for our area.
But I didn't see the attachment on there. So
you have your name for the person you can send an email to, which, like, they respond quickly.
Yeah.
To say, hey, on this address or.
So I'll work on that.
Okay.
I'm going to work on that. If you're going to resend the email with the attachment.
Yeah, just curious to see what the agreement went in and how much we get back from them. So.
All right. Any other old business, gentlemen, you guys can think of? All right, moving on to new business, trick or treat.
Okay, so the question is, we've been contacted by the news media. They want to publish the trick or treat times for all of the communities. Last year we followed Oregon. I looked up Oregon. They're planning to do 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on October 31st. My question is, do we want to do the same 6 to 8 p.m. October 31st?
We did the same thing as they did last year.
Correct.
We always do.
We always match it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if everybody's comfortable with that, I will respond back to the news media and tell them that, yes, we'll do 6 to 8 on 10/31.
I checked on Toledo. Toledo was doing the same. I think just about everybody's doing Wednesday night.
Although some communities are doing slightly shorter hours. I think Genoa might have done like 6, I don't know if it was Genoa or another community, 6 to 8, 6:30 to 8. But But yeah, since the 31st falls on I believe a
Thursday.
Weeknight. Yeah.
It's Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as I can remember, it's always followed Oregon's.
Yeah.
So, okay. I will follow up.
All right. Number two, the Township Recycling Center. There's been a lot of garbage and junk being left over there, right over here. A lot of complaints, which rightfully so. People are just using it as a dumping ground.
And there's potential that the dumping in the wrong bins will contaminate all of the recycling that could be recycled, and instead it all gets wasted and buried.
There's an interesting article that they read today about recycling, and you know, Oregon has stopped the recycling.
The curbside, yeah.
The curbside, and they intend to put it back out with a different company, and they had that rider on their garbage agreement. They switched over from garbage companies. So, not to make a long story long, but Toledo has stopped. They were making $400,000 in revenue a year from the recycling. Now they are paying $2 million a year to move that recycling. Hmm. So, just wanted to be ready.
I'm actually curious on how long Lucas County is going to continue to...
Yeah,
leave right. Dumps. I mean,
you're right.
Everybody else is getting rid of it. I'm curious that they're going to be next to say, "Hey, we're done. You know, we're out of, you know."
I'm afraid that's going to happen. Yeah.
So I mean, the issue, the question is, looking for some type of.
Well, there's several issues here. If we ignore the issue for just a moment about. The China's change in standards and the fact that a lot of our recycling is being refused, and if we ignore that for a moment, the most the question that was posed was the people that are using the recycling bins as a dumping ground, should there be, we don't have any way of identifying who those violators are and giving the information to the sheriff or anyone for follow-up. But now it makes it more complex if recycling is almost at end of life because the standards are so high and we just can't meet those standards, will the whole recycling program just be discontinued anyway? That's a whole... You know, that makes the first issue a moot issue if that happens. Suggestions?
I believe it's just a ploy, so the resident will be paying for this specifically, because if you look at the cardboard, because I worked in the Monroe, Michigan used to have Consolidated Paper, so this was back in the 70s. They took recycled cardboard and then they would run it through their mill, so they're getting a baseline free product because it was being brought given to them.
Yeah, a lot less.
They
processing.
Run the product and then they make another finished product out of it. So same thing with plastics. Now we can't really flood our landfills with all this plastics and everything because it's just going to be phenomenal now, but look at all the products that are made out of recycled plastics. You know, whether it's curbs or curb stops or these
decking.
Different things,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking that they're just playing a waiting game with us, and now we're just going to have to pay for it. So instead of these recycle companies, you know, paying for that, you're going to have to pay to get rid of it too. And that's just my theory on it.
I guess the real question, I mean... What do we, the question of the dumping over here, I mean, I know at one time Kevin had trail cameras set up, but them take individual pictures, and you probably, I mean, as many people that go in and out of there on a day-to-day basis, them memory cards would be full, you know, in a day or two.
During the nights, when I farm next door to them, there's people at 12 o'clock in there.
Oh, yeah. If 5 o'clock in the morning when I go by for work, they're
And they're not our residents. Not all of our residents.
No.
Oh no, there's a lot of Ottawa County plates in there
because
and everything.
They don't have a location. Right. Yeah. So they want to be conscientious and participate in the recycling effort. You know.
But
then you got the idiots that are throwing
garden hoses and everything else. You know.
There's always
field
somebody.
Field tile. I mean, I don't know how to combat this. I mean, it's.
I don't either. You put a camera up there, you know, but we're gonna waste Kevin's time.
Yeah, somebody's gonna have to go back.
Somebody's gonna have to go through it. I don't want to waste Kevin's time.
Right.
You can drive back there, drive out, drive to Reno, and drive back, and there's a mattress laying there. How it's just, and I've had discussions with several residents. One day I was getting ready to pull out of there, I passed. And this individual was sitting in her car. As soon as I went by, she gets out and loading paint cans and stuff next to the dumpster. I sat there and I watched it for a minute, and I turned around and went back, and I told her, I says, you can't leave them here. Well, her whole thing was, where else do I get rid of them? Now, I told her, I says, there's places that take paint and stuff, but you're going to have to pay them. And she got pretty indignant that I made her pick them up and load them back in her car, but you know, they don't read the signs. You can put up signs all day long. We've had people actually caught by the sheriff that we've sent over there that are taking the recyclables out because they're scrapping the cans. They're jumping down in the dumpsters and throwing the cans out. We did get a guy that dumped off a hot tub over there.
Oh yeah.
And it's just, they just don't care, the people that are putting it there. As long as they don't have to contend with it, they don't care.
Well, what are your thoughts on just entertaining, let's maybe investigate the cost of a camera, not a trail camera, but a camera.
Yeah,
a
closed circuit camera.
TV camera.
That remote with a motion sensor. I have no idea what that's going to run for. Yeah,
we can always investigate and see what it
costs. You can just get them ones that run on a digital loop. And they'll hold up to like 30 days worth of stuff. And the cards don't get really messed up going back after they've been over and over. Something like that. But then you're either...
How do you download
it? You have a way to remotely access it, or you go over and pull an SD card and buy one that's got two in it, like our recording system's got.
And swap them out.
Okay. And swap them out.
We can look at it. I mean, it doesn't hurt to look. Okay. I mean, what do you think, Dave? I mean, it doesn't hurt to investigate it.
I don't want to buy a camera and have Kevin.
Right.
It's going to have to be one of us or something.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to do it because I'm not paying Kevin.
Well, the next thing you're going to have to consider, too, is how do you confront some of these? Here he had a female that was a little bit aggressive about it. What happens when you get the wrong guy?
Well, with the sign put up for the penalty and illegal dumping, once you have the information, it goes to the sheriff's department.
Yep, let them handle it.
I'll make up some.
So you get the photo with the license plate number visible and the individual visible.
Could better lighting over the boxes being in there.
You just told us the lighting's too expensive over there.
No, you say you're going to change it. You got your buddy that's going to get us lights for free.
Yeah, put more lights up.
They don't take a lot of lighting. They pick up quite a bit. Yeah. The lighting you got now would be just like daylight over there.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something else we could do. You know, Elmore down there, I go through there, you know, and, I think one or two Saturdays out of the month, at least one, they take garbage. You know, they have a couple dumpsters there, and they have somebody with the backhoe, and they put it in the dumpster, and you know, and are we gonna start doing something like that? Maybe you know, once a month. I don't know.
Oh, you mean having them bring it right here and just
compact
it down in the dumpster?
We might have to do something like that to solve some of these problems too.
Because you're saying these are things that are too big to fit in their trash cans or the
mattress, hot tub. Yeah,
you just burn the hot tub in the back.
Yeah. We might have to do something like that, you know, once a month or something, you know. Kevin loved that overtime, you know, Saturday, you know.
So all he wants to do is sit on the back wall, day, pounding it up and down.
But we might have to do something like that. I don't know. Just thought.
I know a lot of people are upset about the only having the one unlimited garbage pickup, but they don't understand how expensive that is.
Yeah, I know.
So. Which it would be cheaper if we wanted to have a second one that they set dumpsters, and from this time to that time, the only issue we ever had with that is after it's over, people still bring their stuff down, throw it down, even though the dumpsters may not be there. You're not going to keep trashy people from trashing stuff.
Nope.
Well, if you did it once a month, maybe we could keep up. You know, I just passing it by because I go through Elmore every day and I see them doing it every Saturday morning about once or twice a week. I mean, a month. So just something.
Yeah, we know what it costs to them. The dump, like this dumpster out here, is per dump. So I mean.
Well, he talked about he could get roll-offs.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, the big ones, okay.
That was what he was talking about for the unlimited and having everybody bring their stuff here. Maybe you have, and see how financials are at the first year, you have an unlimited that's a curbside pickup. Then maybe 6 months later you do one where they can bring it here.
Yeah.
And dump it in the dumpsters. And
just at the back wall here, that's what they do. And they throw it in there, and that way there's nothing physically. You know, they throw it in the... They throw it in your dumpster, in the back hall, I should say.
Okay.
Just something to pass by.
Yeah. I like that idea, though, because that would help.
I think so. We might have to do that.
Yeah. Okay. I got to talk to Mike Stormer, who he is the, I believe he's the Mike Panuski's deputy chief. Super nice guy. He got me the contact for Mark Bressler with ODOT. This is the... how you want to call it? He's the head guy over like three or four areas, because Mike was very well. He knew all about the Route 2 and Elliston issue. So I did reach out to Mark. I believe he was on vacation last week, and I letting him kind of give him this week to kind of get caught back up. I'm sure he's got a million things to do. So I will follow up with Mark and see if we can get an answer out of him. If we don't get the answer we like from him, Mike said to call him back because he's got higher ups that he can, but he's trying to start in the right order, start with the right guy. So that's where we're at with that. I talked to Mr. Panuski about the Howard Farms Reno Beach Conservancy properties that we realized they owned. He says from the legal description, and Dick's going to love this, from the legal description, it looks like it's just the creek. So they are yours, but you guys don't own the dikes. So it's just the, according to the legal description that they had the county engineers run, it's literally the waterway, them sections. So no dikes whatsoever that they could see. So that was a follow-up with him.
So, yeah, then that... That becomes an issue of trustee coordination. If the if those dikes are not the responsibility of the conservancy, then we need to be looking at the private property owners, and it gets everybody needs. I hope everybody understands that the township doesn't have any direct authority over these dikes. It's a matter of diplomacy. And trying to work with the private property owners, work with the metro parks, work with whoever these parties are to encourage them to upgrade these legacy dikes. Because it's a dike system, and you know how a system works. If there's a failure anywhere in the system fails. So it becomes a very complex process to try to encourage everybody to work together and do the right thing.
I had a couple here I had to add on here. The November 27th, there will be another blood drive here at the hall.
Right.
Yes,
that is
27th, I thought.
I think it's 26th. You check it. Yeah, it's on here. Yeah, it's 26th. Yeah, I think. Post it.
26th is Saturday? Yes.
Yeah. No, this is in November.
Oh.
You have always had one in October.
October 26th.
There's another one in November, yes.
Oh, here? Okay.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
Lucas, I think it's through Lucas County Sheriff's, because Stephanie Minky set this one up, and she's a Lucas County Sheriff. Okay. So,
that's fine.
Yep. November 27th there's one. So there's one October 26th and November 27th.
Do you know what the time is?
12 to 5.
That's almost too soon. You know, that doesn't make sense because you can't give again.
That's what I told him. Yeah, I told him, I go, we have one the 26th of October.
You can't give. That,
you'd have to have all new donors.
Yep. Yeah, you have to have all new donors. I don't make. Maybe I should tell them that. I don't know.
I did. I told her that we have one like a month prior to that. So
don't make sense. But, oh, well, whatever.
All right. Okay, so that was the blood drive. I got two for Linda, or one for Linda, and she has one for us. But has anybody, Lakemore, there's a camper there I got a complaint on. Or Lakeway, not Lakemore, Lakeway.
Sitting back in the woods?
Yes. Now there's a mailbox, supposedly, and everything. So I'm going to leave her a note to check on that one. And then the last thing Linda left for us, and I just want to double check because she texted me earlier. I want to make sure I do this right. Okay, we have to accept. I need a motion to accept 566 Howard Road from the Lucas County Land Bank. It's one of the vacant lots.
South or north?
I'm sorry?
South or north?
It says north.
North Howard?
North Howard. On the Aries map here, it says North Howard.
Down by the mother lots, we just did something with it.
Yep, yep. So yeah. It says, so 566 Howard Road from the Lucas County Land Bank. So we need a motion, and then we got to sign the back here saying that we're accepting it from the land bank for her. Make so she can get the property. So you
got the paper. Okay. Make a motion, yeah.
I'm moved to accept address 566 Howard Road from the Lucas County Land Bank. Parcel number is 33-70407.
That it?
That's it.
I can second it.
Roll call. Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Any other new business? You guys have anything?
Yeah, I got a couple things here. It doesn't mean too much. It's Ward's Canal. It's Debbie Herman. She grew up in Bono, and she's worried about, I'll read it here. My application for Ward's Canal marker has been accepted. Yay. Thank you for your encouragement and direction. The marker will be placed on the canal in Howard Wetlands. There is still much I have to do before the dedication, which I think will be next summer. Thank you again, Debbie Herman. Somewhere in the wetlands, she's going to have a big plaque about the Ward's Canal. I don't know if it's going to have what it all was when it was a shipping.
Oh, the history? Wow,
like,
that would be great.
Like Oregon's got with like Pierre Navarre and all them.
Yeah, something
be nice.
Like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was here last summer talking about that. And the other only thing I got here is there's a Temecaga Tools and Rules 2 meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 to 10:30, and I thought I'm not too busy, so I thought I'd pop in.
Great.
That's all I got.
Okay.
All right. Any other new business?
Nothing else I have.
Yep. That's what I can get to. So, okay. Public participation. We just need you to state your name for the record, so they can Joel can have it in the minutes.
Sure. Bob Lynn. I live at 7150 Simon Road. I'm actually in Oregon. My east boundary is Jerusalem Township. And why I'm here is that since 2000, I built my house there, and my driveway is the number one turnaround for snow plows and all the equipment that comes out of Jerusalem Township so they don't have to go all the way down the road. I don't have a problem with it. I got a big enough driveway. You've only stuck the plow in it once. But I could use a load of brimstone dropped at the driveway because it's pounded in and all kinds of ruts are in there. It should be nice if you guys who use my driveway all the time actually drop me a nice load of stone.
That's not us.
That's not us.
That would be the Lucas County engineers because the township itself does not maintain any roads in that area. We basically maintain all the little subdivision areas. Any of the bigger roads this way pretty much is all Lucas County engineers. Here, if you could write your name and address on here for me.
Sure.
And I will contact them and see if I can do you any good.
Your garbage pickup and all that, they turn around in it too. So
okay.
I'm saying it's combination. I don't care who does it.
Yeah.
But
and where, you said on Corduroy?
No, Seaman.
Oh, Seaman.
From Flight's Pumpkin Farm.
Okay.
I'm the big driveway right across that everyone turns around in and goes. Which is, like I said, I don't have a problem. I just need a load of stone in there because they beat the hell out of the front of it.
Right, go on.
Oh,
that's on you.
Talk to Tom. We'll talk to Tom about that too.
Yeah. Well, it's most probably not been Tom. That was most probably like this waste management.
Oh, yeah. Time.
But Tom may very well be doing
it. Yeah. Okay.
I don't have a problem. I just.
Well, we'll see what we can get.
I got a couple of big holes there, and not because of the vehicles I drive,
right.
Because the vehicles pull in there, they turn around, etc.
Okay.
So that they don't have to go all the way down to the next crossroad and come back.
Okay.
But it should be nice if I get a load of permanent stone in there or something.
Kevin's got it. Okay. He got your number too, yep. Right? Okay, perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope.
No? All right. Anybody else have anything? Yeah.
Okay. 56 Main Street, Bella. I live next door to that property. It was tore down across from the bar. And I just got back from Texas. I'm here for the holidays. And they're telling me that the bar owner would like to try and purchase that place and make a parking lot for her bar. Can they do that?
I think the neighbor, not the bar, I think... From what Linda said, one of the neighbors wants that.
No, I think I heard the bar.
Oh, I thought she said that.
Pam Keats wants it, and Jim Howe, I think that's his name.
Yeah, the bar wants it.
Yeah, thought about if he could get it also, but mainly to keep her from getting it and trying to make a parking lot for her bar.
I wouldn't want a bar next to me either. You guys should share that by... One neighbor by half, and you by the other half.
Yeah, because I think it's two parcels there, front and back, on that.
I'm not sure of that either.
How would I go about that?
Why don't you come in Wednesday, and Linda's in here Wednesday, the zoning inspector, and talk to her about that.
So
during the day she's here.
Like 1 to 2 o'clock, 2 to 6.
2 to at least about 6. She leaves earlier sometimes, but, you know.
And I know right now we don't have possession of that piece of property.
Yeah.
That's not ours yet. We are in agreements with the Lucas County Land Bank. They agreed to take it on since we had committed to tearing the house down. So there's a lot of process that's got to go into that right now. Linda's got to get it accepted. We got to get it from the land bank before we can even do anything with it. So, but I would definitely talk to Linda and let her know that you guys are interested or, you know, if it is two parcels, whatever.
It is deep.
Yeah. And it is a nice piece of property right there. You know,
oh, yeah.
And they
the
love
neighbor
it all.
Should have it, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the only way the bar owner would be able to buy it is if adjoining property owners didn't want it, then it would be open to anybody, the bar owner or anybody else that lived around there.
Would you know about when it would go under... whoever would take it over because of back taxes?
That's what the land bank's doing.
The
land bank's foreclosing on it. The property, because the taxes are so behind on it, so far in the rears. So that's why they said, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll start the paperwork on getting the property. They don't like to take properties that have houses on them. So we said, well, we'll tear the house down if you guys get the property. And then
So if I would buy the property, would I have to pay you guys for tearing it down?
You would pay whatever the value of it that we can come to an agreement on.
Yeah.
You're best just talking to the zoning inspector.
And that's her.
Yeah. And she's in what, tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because the owner doesn't want anything to do with it. Her husband was the one who got murdered.
Yeah.
Right. So. Okay. I'll talk to her.
Yep. Anything else? Dick, you have anything? Nothing? All right. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
I so move.
Second.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Settler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Not too bad.
Meaning adjourn.
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 Too bad.
Meaning adjourn.